In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning we find ourselves in the book of Acts. Our first reading, we have Peter is preaching, and he has this to say. Then Peter began to speak to them, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." It's important to know that Peter is preaching to the Gentiles. This is a people group who have seen God's chosen people, the people that are following the faith as Jewish people, and they have known all along that they were not part of the chosen people. So it's important to know that since Christ crucified and risen, that border that was set up as God was initially starting to set his people apart step by step, that no longer exists, brothers and sisters. At his crucifixion, the curtain was torn. Amen? If you know the answer, you can go ahead and say it. Amen. And then when that curtain's torn, we gained access to God through Jesus Christ. Peter is on the other side of the cross with us, and he is reaching out to the Gentiles, those who have felt set apart, and essentially not even set apart, just flat out told, "You're not one of us." And Jesus has said, "That is not the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the light. All who come to me." And it's for all. The message is for all. And that is the message which Peter is putting out today. And we hear him continue. He talks a little bit about who this Jesus is. And he says, "You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all." That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. That's good news. It was good news then, it's good news now. And for us, it probably sounds like better news, but it probably sounded like really great news to them. We all find ourselves from time to time feeling a little bit outside. Peter goes on to say, "We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear." That is the day we recognize today, Easter. This is that time. And as the reading goes on, we hear this from Peter. "He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testified about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." Commanded his followers, the apostles, to share this good news of Jesus Christ. And we stand here today because they did their job, amen? They shared the good news of Jesus Christ, and then the next generation, and then the next generation, and then the next generation, and here we are today proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ risen, amen? That is the call for each Christian. And as we stand here today, I cannot help but recognize that we have some visitors. Amen? Well, thanks be to God. Honestly, I have to tell you, I am grateful. I am so grateful that you're here. I'm so grateful you're here no matter how you got here or how you think you got here. Let me tell you how you ended up in the pew here today at Holy Innocence. You are here in this pew today, no matter what you were thinking when you walked in this door, whether you came in joyfully or whether you came in dragging your feet, or whether you're thinking, "I should have got up, I didn't know it was going to get quiet, now I can't sneak out." It doesn't matter. You're here because God reaches to us one step at a time. You are here today because God brought you here. You may not be able to sort that immediately if you're not sure what I'm saying. But if you know what I'm saying, you know. Amen? God brought you here. As one who has been given this good news of Jesus, I too feel commanded to share the good news of the gospel, to be a witness and give testimony to the glory of God. So let me say this to you. Jesus brings us in one step at a time. And as I was thinking about what I would say to you today, I thought I could come in here and I could give you something really brief, because I don't want you to feel like you've been here too long. I don't want you to leave and go, oh, geez, that was so long. Well, the seats are padded. I want you to know that I could give you a wonderfully eloquent theological sermon and share with you what it meant in the Greek. Nope, nobody wants that one. Good. Because that's not what I prepared. In my preparation, I made my little notes. You're going to get to hear, and we're at the part where it says, testify. That's what my little note says, give witness. So let me tell you about some of the little steps of my witness. My first step came from a small child. I was raised in a church like many, and I left. And I ended up living a life as a young man that from my religious upbringing gave me very clear understanding, without fail, the one thing I knew about who I was and what I was doing is I didn't belong in a church. I knew it. People would tell me different, but they couldn't convince me otherwise. I didn't belong. I knew I didn't belong. I was broken, and I was sinful, and I was hurting. And I went chasing relief from my pain in the world, in everything you can imagine. Everything. And in the midst of that journey, I became a father. But I continued creating this identity of brokenness. If you saw the pictures of me then and the picture of me now, first you'd think, well, he was a lot younger then. But I was everything you would imagine. I was a kid of the 80s. I had the hair down the middle of my back, the earrings to match the hair. I had it all. I was, and whatever I could find in the world that would ease my pain and my struggle in the world, I clung to it, all of it. And I mean all of it. And in the midst of that, I have this little boy, and he's growing up a little bit. And there's this moment, I remember it clearly this day, which I don't remember much clearly from those days, I'm not going to lie. And I'm looking at him, and he's looking up at me, and what I know now that I saw in his eyes then that I couldn't articulate, what I saw in his eyes, brothers and sisters, was unconditional love. This small child, barely on his feet, wobbling around, muttering a few words, looking up at me, and I recognized, he thinks I'm amazing. He thinks I'm everything. And then the thought came into my head, he's probably going to want to be just like his dad. And that was the first little break in my hardened heart. And God broke my hardened heart, because the last thing I wanted was for my son to be like me at that time in my life. But that's what he was destined for, because I was everything. And God took a little chunk and he just, little crack in my heart, And over a period of years, he built on that. And he called me, and he called me, and he called me. And I found my way through. You hear what I said? I found my way through. Until I got to a place where I couldn't go any further on my own. And then God, in his grace and mercy, just kept drawing me closer. And there's 1,000 stories I could tell you. And none of us want to be here that long. But I need you to hear this. I need you to hear this. God broke my heart so that he could find his way in. Then he broke my heart again so that I could let his people in. I don't stand here today for any reason other than the fact that God is good and he's gracious. And as he broke my heart for his people, I got to a place where I said, God, I will do anything you ask me to do. And he said, you will be my priest. And I laughed. I'm thinking, you don't know. I don't belong here. He said, you belong to me. And his unconditional love continued to grow in me, and he continues to help me share that with others. I sit here with you today because I know many of you are here visiting. And you maybe come once in a while, or maybe you come a couple times a year, or maybe somebody just drug you kicking and screaming today. I don't care. Whatever you think brought you here, what brought you here was the power of God through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. That's why you're here. And I stand here feeling like I feel I don't want to bore you with the Greek. But brothers and sisters, I have to tell you, I'm here because of a broken heart that I will never want mended. Because my heart has been broken for Jesus. And in that process, he broke my heart again for his people. I see you. I see you. I see your struggle. I see your pain. And I know it because I live it with you. I see it. I see all of us out there chasing the world, getting busy, trying to get things done. And brothers and sisters, I don't know what happened a couple of years ago. We have a pandemic, and all of a sudden, every day feels like it's a short day. Amen? I mean, when was the last time you got to the end of a day and went, that was a good day, I got everything done? When? Ever? It doesn't happen. We went chasing after something. The world scared the hell out of us. Wrong. Scared the hell into us. We started running. As soon as we were able, we started running. We ran to every single thing the world would offer. And the one thing that we turned away from, many of us, myself included for a time, is I forgot who to turn to. And I struggled and I got busy, just like everyone else got busy. And I hear it every single day of every single week as I talk to God's people. You know, we just couldn't make it, Father. We were busy. You know who's not busy? Jesus. He is not too busy for your life. And if your life is too busy for him, you are not living the life he has for you. And you can chase it if you want. I've done it. In the worst ways. I've done it. Here's a little secret if you don't know it yet. It's going to fail. You're going to lose. Because all you're ever going to get chasing the world, brothers and sisters, is the world. I don't know if you've seen it lately. Who the hell wants it? Do you want it? No, I don't want it either. How's it going to be different? How are we going to change that? We're going to change that because we're going to chase after Jesus. We're going to chase Jesus in a way that looks different than what it looks like to chase after the world. We're going to take the time, we're going to sit, and we're going to say, Lord, just come to me. I'm coming as close as I can. Help me come closer. I want him to break your heart the way he's broken mine. I want you to see one another. I want you to see me. I want you to know the pain is real, and I know it's real because I feel it too. But I also know where you can get relief from the pain. And I know where you can get the relief from the sorrow. And I know where you can get relief from your shame. And I know where you can belong. You belong in Christ, not in the world. You don't belong to this world. You live in it as a witness and as a testimony to the glory of God. Amen? That's what he calls us to. And if you don't know the fullness of that yet in your life, stick around. We'll help you. People, help me. A little over a week ago, I buried a friend. It's one of the struggles of the business. But I got to share my testimony. See, he was an older guy at the church that we went to when I finally went to see what it was about as an adult. You have to know I only went because the clergy person there had left the same denomination that I felt I could never go back to. And I thought, well, if he can do it, maybe I can do it. And so I went, like a lot of folks, and I stayed on the outside for a while. Then we had a work day. I don't know if you're familiar with church, but a lot of stuff happens around here. We do that with these hands and many others. And my wife's going, you should go to the work day. I'm like, I'm not going to the work day. Those aren't my people. Anybody? Anybody got a witness there? Anybody want to give testimony? Those aren't my people. Yeah, that was me, not my people. And she's like, just go. And I'm like, not my people. I'm not going. And, you know, at some point, husbands know, just go. So I went, and I met this man. His name was Larry. Just a guy. And they put me with him because, well, I was in my late 20s and he was closest to my age, probably 50. So I don't want to hear about all that whining either. I already walked it. God puts us with wise people. He didn't look like anybody or anything. So I'm working with him. I don't know what he was working on. All I know is I'm thinking, how long is this going to take? Could I go do something else and just let my wife know that I was here? And in the midst of doing that work, he smashed his thumb with a hammer. And that brother let out a four-letter word. And I went, these are my people. We're just people. We're just people who struggle. We're just people who love Jesus because we know Jesus loves us. It's just not that complicated. Yes, he will break your heart. But doesn't it need it? Just a little? I mean, how much harder can our hearts get in this world? The things that are happening around us, we can either get rigid and fight, we can follow Jesus. Will we receive some struggle? Yes, we will. My friends and family still have problems. This fallen world still enters into our lives. We still get sick. This body's breaking down as you're watching it. You can't see it from there, but trust me, it's happening. After this week, I can't wait to lay down. All those things still happen. I still bury my friends. But it's different. It can't define me anymore. The brokenness of this world does not define me. I find my identity in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, because I needed him and I found out he was there. And if you get nothing out of your visit here today, whether you come for the first time, whether you come occasionally, whether you're here every week, hear this. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. is to his glory. He wants you so bad, he would do anything. And we want the world so bad, we'll do anything. And it's not working. You can tell me it is, but I see you. And what I see in this world is me when I was choosing to chase the world. And I cannot say to you any more clearly, stop. Just stop. Let's just be honest. The next time your heart is moved to engage in the body of Christ, the next time your heart is moved to love and care for someone in a way that the world will think you've lost your mind, because nobody does that. The next time you're sitting there and someone invites you to intend something or to be a part of something where the gospel may be spoken, the next time you hear that and that voice raises up inside of you that overcomes the depth of your heart, which is crying out, I do want that, I do want that. And that voice gets ahead of you and you say, no, I'm not doing that. They're a bunch of hypocrites. No kidding. Welcome. They say one thing, they do another. Yeah, but we're trying. Come try with us. You can fight that fight the rest of your days. Here's the other thing you need to know in my line of work. I walked with a man who fought the same fights I did. I met him, I was already a priest. And I was in the middle of a Sunday service, and afterwards, God had moved me. And afterwards, I go to my wife, I said, we have to go to hospice to see Howard. Howard had been laying in that bed. He fought hard. He did. That cancer got him. So we went. She opted to stay in the car, and I think that was God's grace. I came into the hospice house. He was there alone. He had lived his life for himself, his whole life. He's dying. Nobody's there. Nobody. And he is literally, physically fighting. He's tangled up in the sheets. They told me another came in, he's been unresponsive for a couple of days. And that brother fought. He was just wanted the world, and I know his heart wanted more. We had a lot of conversations, but he just couldn't find the strength to step over. And there he was, oblivious, fighting. And I put his arms down, untangled him from the sheets. He started to calm down, and I'm praying over him. Out loud, I know that's hard to believe, Episcopalian. And with this really light breath, he says, Father Brian. I said, yeah, Howard, I'm here. I see you're still fighting, brother. And I know you're struggling. And I know from our conversations that you're not sure about your place with God. I know your faith isn't that strong right now, but mine is. I said, brother, you are safe in the hands of Jesus. You are safe. He wants you. He's calling you. Jesus called that man his whole life. And in that moment, I simply had to say to him, my faith is strong enough for both of us right now. Trust me. God is with you. And he went very calm. He passed sometime after that, within the day. I pray he remained calm. I don't know. You're going to reach a place of calm. It can be today, or it can be that day. You can find a place where you belong, but you have to quit fighting and clinging to the identity that you have that tells you you don't. Cling to the cross. Come to Jesus. He's calling. This journey is a journey of steps. And like every journey, it's thousands of steps. You can choose those steps to move away from Christ, or you can choose to move towards. You can choose to see what he's doing out of his love for you, or you can choose the world that can't love you. It just can't. That's why everything you chase is never enough. Never enough. You never work enough hours. You never have enough money. Never have a nice enough car, a big enough house, enough to drink, enough to smoke. Whatever it is, it'll never be enough. You know how I know? Already tried it. So brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, unlike many places like this today, I just stand before you. I stand with you. A Christian, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I stand here as a witness to his grace and mercy. His grace and his mercy and his unconditional love that took me, teenage parent, drug addict, alcoholic, divorced, remarried, high school dropout, who by his grace let him break my heart so I could see him. And then he broke my heart so I could see you the way he sees you. I stand here as a testimony to the glory of God and to say to you, come with me. Come and find all that you know your heart wants. And to hell with the world. Let it be. It's going to fade away, and his kingdom will come. This day, we are witness to the kingdom. This day, we are called. It's your choice. You can convince yourself that these aren't your people, that I don't know. Oh, I know. Many of you know what I know. I've been there. Done that. And all I wanted through the whole thing was for it to stop. I wanted out. And the way out is by coming into the body of Christ. Let him take you in. Let him break your heart so that you can see him. And then let him break your heart again so that you can see the hurting world that will only be transformed by his people who allow him to transform their lives so that we can be a witness and give testimony to his glory. We do not walk alone on this journey. I pray that today, no matter why you're here or how often you're here, may God make this another step for you that draws you closer to him. We do not walk alone. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.